Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
So this is the thing. Has anyone ever started a conversation with you like, look, this is the thing? Anybody? I can't really see, but raise your hands just so you, this is the thing. And yeah, it's not always a pleasant conversation, is it? It's not always a pleasant conversation that follows. But I promise you this message titled, This is the Thing, will be challenging and encouraging. But at the same time, there is a seriousness to it. And as I was preparing, I could just feel the crucial, timely seriousness. And so if you would just jump on board with me, and we'll get straight to it. Paul wrote most of the New Testament, and he would address the Corinthians often in his letters, and to them he would say, I would like to talk to you about this, but this is a thing. I got to talk to you about this first. So let me give you an example. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 2, it says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it yet. Indeed, you are still not ready. And you may be saying, wow, Mandy, that's kind of an insult. No, hang tight with me. This morning, I want to make sure that we are all ready. Ready for what? Ready to grow. Ready to level up in Christ. Ready to hear the meat of God's word and grow up a little bit and get ready for Jesus to come back. Get ready to see Jesus face to face. Hear me this morning. I want to make sure that we are ready to hear the words, well done, thy good and faithful servant, so that we never have to hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. I'm going to say it again. I want you to be ready to hear the words, well done, thy good and faithful servant, so you never have to hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. So this is going to be for the unbeliever because the gospel is going to be presented. It's going to be for the new believer because we are going to challenge your faith to grow. And iron sharpens iron. And it's going to be for the mature believer because you will be encouraged to continue to endure. The majority of my message will be coming from Paul's letters to the Corinthian church in the New Testament. So that's 1 and 2 Corinthians. And there are a lot of parallels and similarities between the Corinthian church and the modern day American church. So you see, the Corinthian church was a privileged church. It was a blessed church in many ways. The Corinthian church had both Jewish and Gentile believers. And a lot of Bible scholars believe that there were more Gentile converts, which we would be considered Gentiles in here today, and that would be a lot like us. But the Corinthian church had to overcome culture because there are a lot of pagan and ungodly things happening in their city and around them, and they had to learn how to navigate as the body of Christ in a culture that was ungodly. As you read through 1 and 2 Corinthians, you see Paul give church discipline and instruction. How many of you, if you have children, you discipline and give them instruction? That's what the Lord is going to do this morning. Paul corrected the spirit of division within the members of the church. We have to quit fighting and quarreling among ourselves. We have to quit bickering with the person in the pew next to us. They took your seat, well, find another seat. It's not that big of a deal. They took your parking spot, it's okay. All right? They didn't say hi to you, go say hi to them. It works both ways. Listen, and maybe the person you're angry at this morning is your spouse and you had a fight. Forgive them this morning. Maybe you're a teenager and mom and dad yelled at you this morning. Forgive them this morning. Let's get right in the house of God. Paul spoke of spiritual freedom. How many of you have spiritual freedom in here? Praise God. And finally, there was joy over the church's repentance when we did these things. So I heard someone say, if Paul was still here on earth, America would be getting a letter. I believe God is correcting the American church, and the true Bible-believing churches are repenting and making sure that they are standing upon the rock, who is the Word who became flesh, Jesus Christ. I know that's harsh, but we're a part of the American church, and we need to step up and level up and make sure that we are in line with keeping the Word of God. And praise God, we have been. We have been, and I am so thankful that we are founded upon the rock who is Jesus Christ. We have to make sure that we are keeping the main thing, the main thing. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." If you keep Christ at the center of your life and focus on him, he will lead you through anything and everything you go through. So this morning, I want to walk you through 5 points to help us this morning to make sure we are living a Christ-centered and biblical life, and that we are not exchanging the truth of God for a lie. Because the world lives on lies. I mean, the world, you ask them questions that are pure factual, and they can't give you an answer. Because the world lives on lies. And the truth is always inconvenient to those comfortable living in their lives. Truth is inconvenient to those who are comfortable with lies. They like living in lies because they want it their way. They want it their truth. But we are in the world, not of this world, and we do not live by a worldly standard. We live by a godly standard. So number one, this is the thing. We are all sinners in need of the Savior. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." There's not one of us in here that is good enough to get to heaven on our own. We all need Jesus. We can't work our way into heaven, and we can't give our way into heaven. No denomination is going to grant you access into heaven. If there's a denomination that says you have to join our denomination to get to heaven, that is false doctrine, and it'll send you straight to hell, because the only way we can be saved is through Christ and Christ alone. You do not need to confess your sins to a priest. You need to confess your sins to Christ and repent to him, because he is the only one who can forgive you and make you free. Only Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, can be the door through which we enter the pearly gates. Now let me share the good news of the gospel with you, like I do with Catalyst Kids every Wednesday night. I always tell them, you are loved by Jesus. You are chosen by Jesus. And you are free in Jesus' name. And that's straight up scripture. It says, God proved to us his love by sending Jesus to die on the cross for us while we were yet sinners. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Maybe there's a grown man or woman that needs to hear that this morning. You are loved by Jesus. You are chosen by Jesus, and you are free in Jesus' name. Maybe someone invited you, or maybe you saw a post on social media, but you told God, God, I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to give you one more chance. And I'm here to tell you, God hears you, God sees you, and this is your confirmation to come back to him. Come back to the Lord. When you seek him, you will find him. Quit trying to run this race and fight this battle on your own. You need Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. Seek him while he may be found. This morning is your morning. Number two. This is the thing. We must pick up our cross and follow him daily. Matthew 16:24-26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? The sin you like to live in is not worth your soul. It's easier to live in sin than to pick up your cross and follow him. But I tell you what, picking up your cross and following him leads to eternal life. But sin leads to eternal death. We have too many professing Christians still living like sinners. This ought not be so. If we love Jesus, we will keep his commands. We must learn to deny our flesh. I can't just live my life however I want. I must filter my wants through the word of God. And if it is against his word, it must be denied to my flesh. If it is against his word, I must deny it to my flesh. Our lives have to look differently than the world's. Young people, I should say young people and old people with social media, your social media should look different. Your social media should look different. Modesty and humility should be evident in every believer's life, in dress, in word, in action, in deed. Our behavior, our actions, our words, they all must be used to represent Christ and glorify his name. If we are ambassadors for the Lord, are we representing him well? If I went to your office, would the people know that you are a saved Christian on your way to heaven? Do you glorify his name in everything you do? Because there should be a difference in you. And listen, there's a difference between falling and choosing to sin. If I fall, I repent and I get back up, and that's where God's grace and mercy comes in. And I need his grace and mercy on a daily basis, so don't get me wrong. Amen? And I thank him for that. But hold on really tightly. Hold your neighbor's hand if you have to. But if I knowingly and willingly continue to live in perpetual sin, if I knowingly and willingly live in perpetual sin, Hebrews 10 says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we receive the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. Wake up. Quit making excuses for your habitual sin. Your excuses are killing your growth. You have to pick up your cross and deny your flesh and follow him. Pastor Brandon has been preaching soul detox and how we must stay connected to the vine. And when we stay connected to the vine, who is Jesus Christ, we will produce godly fruit. What does godly fruit look like? It's the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Every adult should have that memorized because little Angel Haley says it every time. Angel Haley, how old are you? 7. She's 7, and she has the 9 fruits of the Spirit memorized. You should too. All of these fruits work together in conjunction to help us pick up our cross and follow him. I can't lose my cool with you because the fruit of patience won't let me. I work with children. I can't lose my cool, and the fruit of patience won't let me. I can't hate my enemies because the fruit of love won't let me. I can't say whatever I want and do whatever I want because the fruit of self-control won't let me. And the separation process has begun. God is separating the wheat from the chaff. He is pruning the vine, so we all better get in line. He's going to prune away those that are not truly of him. And only those who are repentant and sincere and pick up their cross and follow him will remain in him. Remain in him, and he will remain in you. We must learn to deny our flesh, pick up our cross, and follow Christ for real. Not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. I want us all to get right with the Lord and have no fear of death because we know where we are going to go. I want to be so confident in Christ that I don't fear death. I don't fear anything that comes my way because I have the eternal hope of salvation through Jesus Christ. Picking up our cross looks a lot like forgiving those who have wronged us. So they wronged you. They wronged Christ first. So they hated you. They hated Christ first. The only thing unforgiveness will do for you is poison your soul. If you want to be forgiven, you must forgive. Picking up our cross looks like leaving addictions at the altar. Addictions are never going to get to the root, and they're never going to solve why you feel the way you feel. Quit numbing your emotional and spiritual pain through physical means. You want your spirit to be healed, you must worship in spirit and in truth. Pick up your cross and let the Lord heal you from your addiction once and for all. Picking up our cross looks like giving up old ways for a new and living way. When you come to this place, when you come to this altar, it's a place where good intentions and faith collide. It's where you commit to picking up your cross. But it's when you leave this place. It's when you walk out those doors where your good intentions and faith will be tested. And your faith will be tested, and your faith will test you. Your life and your actions will prove what you really believe. Pick up your cross, deny your flesh, and follow him. That was a rough one. We're going to get through this. Number three, this is the thing. Our consistency matters. It's time for believers to level up. See, I don't know if you've ever trained your physical body, but it takes a while. How much more should we train our spirit? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Are you tired of always having to start over, feeling like you take one step forward just to take five steps back? The issue is lack of consistency. It takes some time. You say, well, I don't know if living for the Lord really works. Well, you've only been living for him for about a week. So hang in there, sister. Hang in there, brother, and live a little bit longer. Take another step forward. Take it day by day. Be consistent in your walk with the Lord, consistent in your church attendance, consistent in reading God's word. Listen, and I don't have this in my notes. I actually took it out of my notes, but I'm going to say it. Christians who say, well, I'm just not getting fed. I'm not getting fed there. I'd be hungry, too, if I didn't eat at home. I'd be hungry, too, if I didn't eat at home. I don't just eat food on Sundays and Wednesdays. I eat every single day. So when I need the Word of God, I go to the Word of God. I can look at my phone and have the Bible app up in mere seconds. We are without excuse. We are without excuse. We have the Word readily available to us. Be consistent in your prayer. Be consistent in your praise and worship. God has been constantly and consistently good to me. He has been good to me consistently. So I want to be constantly and consistently living for him. I want him to be able to look at my life and see that my eyes are on him and see that there's fruit to my faith. Consistent faith creates consistent results in our lives. Don't give up. I don't know if you've seen the meme where it was a brick, like they were breaking rock, and one man gave up, but he was like this far from breaking rock into the treasure. And another man was far away, but he kept going and he made it. You're like this far away. Just keep, hang in there. Don't give up now. You're this far away from your miracle. Noah had to remain consistent in building the ark for 120 years before the rain came. None of us have lived 120 years. Okay? So we must remain consistent for at least 120 years. Your consistency matters. Your obedience to God's instruction matters. And parents, we need to be consistent for our children. You know who's consistent? And I see them every Sunday. They sit right behind me. Rexy. And you know who's with them? His beautiful wife, Angie. And you know who's with them? Their young adult son. And you know who else is with them? Their teenage son. And you know who else is with them? Their children. And they are consistent. And they are showing their children what it means to be consistently living and serving the Lord. Parents, amen. You must be consistent in giving godly instruction. Be consistent in your example of how you live. The world is unstable and confusing enough. Let's not have them come back to an unstable and confusing home. I want my children to come home, although one of them's moved out, but that's okay. He visits sometimes. I want my children to be able to come home and find peace and rest and love and comfort. I don't want to be all on their case all the time. And I don't have to be on their case all the time because when they were young, I raised them in the way they should go and they didn't depart from it. We have to level up, be consistent. It's not our job to make our children happy. It's not our job to make our children happy. It's our job to teach them right from wrong, good from evil. Train up a child in the way they should go and they will not depart from it. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." For he who promised is faithful. Level up, stay consistent. Number four, this is the thing. Some storms you can't outrun. Some battles you have to face head on. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." Listen to the last part, "that you may be able to bear it." Listen closely. The escape is through the enduring in Christ Jesus. That is our escape. Christ Jesus is our escape. James 5:11 says, "As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen that the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. There is blessing in the testing, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." There's an analogy about cows and buffaloes when the storm comes. I don't know if any of you are from the country, but has anybody seen a buffalo in real life? They are huge creatures. They are intimidating creatures. But then there's cows, and they're just as cute as can be, and they are very different creatures. So cows, when a storm comes, they run. They run away, and they run away as fast as they can. But this just makes their time within the storm longer by running, which extends the amount of pain, time, and frustration they will experience from the storm. But the buffalo, on the other hand, sense that same storm and they charge head on into it. They go straight into the path of the storm because they know that the storm will not last always. And when the storm passes, they will be able to enjoy the benefits of the storm, the green grass, cool air. I don't know if you've ever stood outside after the storm, but it's beautiful. It smells good. The air is nice and clean. It's a beautiful thing. So you can be like the cow and you can run away and you can lengthen your time in the storm. Or you can be like the buffalo and run straight into the storm, knowing that the Lord is with you. You see, when you face the storm, when you confront your battle, that's how you get through it. If you keep running, it's going to keep chasing. If you keep running away from your problem's going to keep chasing you. And you cannot run away from yourself. You are always where you are. Be the buffalo in the face of the storm because it is not you who will have to fight this battle. For the Lord will go before you and prepare a way for you, and he will be with you through it all. 2 Chronicles 20:17, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Your fight is not with the storm. Your fight is not with the battle. Your fight is for faith and to trust the Lord through it all. That's your fight. There have been battles that I've had to face where I had no idea what to do. There have been battles that I had to face head on and I had no idea what to do. But that's when God taught me how to fight. That's when God gave me the words to pray and the word to stand on. But if I'm transparent, there are some storms that I had to face head on where all I could do is run to Jesus and cry. Just run to him, and the Holy Spirit had to make intercession for me because he became my strong tower, my fortress, my ever-present help in the time of trouble. And as I was in his arms crying, the storm passed, and we made it through. The storm is where I learned patience and perseverance. The battle is where the Lord showed himself strong on my behalf. When we steady our focus on Jesus, our problems don't seem so big. We don't have to worry because we can cast all our cares on him. We can rest in him, and his love will pull us through everything we face. We are safe in God's love. Face the storm and go into the fight, knowing that the Lord is with you. Number five and my last point, it's more than a revival, it's prophecy being fulfilled. Now, I hope that you are understanding the season that we are in. It is a crucial time that we are living in, and I want you to know it's more than a revival, it's prophecy being fulfilled. We are seeing the gospel being preached and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit all over the world. It's happening right here in America, West Coast, East Coast. It's happening in Central America, South America, Africa, and even the Middle East. It's happening everywhere. And that's biblical, and that's prophecy being fulfilled. Listen, Acts 2:17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will see dreams. There are little kids who are having visions and prophesying of the Lord's coming. And I have seen for myself in this church little children coming and asking to be baptized in water, not knowing fully what they're asking for, but knowing that God said that I need to be baptized and I want to be baptized. So I think we all better get in line. I think we better understand the times that we are living in. Matthew 24:14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. In the last days, the end will come. Prophecy is being fulfilled. Are you hearing me? Are you seeing what's happening? People are being confronted with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're being confronted with his name this morning. And you have to choose what you will do with his name. God is giving every single one of us a chance to be made right with him. He is not willing that any should perish. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. There's a poem that says, life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust thou returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Your flesh will return to dust, but your soul will return to God. And one way or the other, my soul will return to the Lord. My soul longs for the Lord. And there's nothing on this earth that can satisfy my soul because my soul didn't come from the earth. My soul belongs to him, and the life I live will be evident of that. I know that if I draw close to him, he will draw close to me. 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Christians are getting tired of this world, and they're becoming bold in their faith in Almighty God. Never to fall asleep in the Spirit, because we know the hour draws closer. So if you've been living for the Lord a long time, I beg of you to not fall asleep now. We must live in the state of being revived. I live in a state of being revived. I'm in a permanent revival because God revived my soul. He opened up the eyes of my heart. He took the scales off my eyes so that I am able to see him clearly. He tore the veil so that I could worship him in spirit and in truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we must live in that state of being revived. The Bible says that in the last days there will be scoffers. Where is the coming of this Messiah you speak of? Where is he? There are scoffers. That people would be lovers of themselves. I've never seen a generation love itself more than this one. This is the most selfish generation I've ever seen. But God has called us to be selfless. In the last days, they will be ungrateful and unholy. The love of many will wax cold, and there will be wars and rumors of wars, and there will be earthquakes in diverse places. We see the scoffers. We see the love of many growing cold. We hear about the calamities. We can clearly see that what the Bible said would come to pass is coming to pass. And you are the generation to see it. And whether or not you think the coming of the Lord is imminent or decades away, I pray that none of us are caught off guard and that we live our lives holy, pleasing, and acceptable to the Lord God Almighty. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Now, brothers and sisters, about the times and dates, we do not need to write you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But this is for us. Listen. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober."